Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure you're tuning in this hour for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. We'll have that opportunity for you later here in this hour. Joe, we talked about it earlier in the show. If you've missed it out there, Diana Russini of ESPN reporting that the Atlanta Falcons have made an offer to Arthur Smith to become their next head coach. So, obviously, there's been a ton of interest in Arthur Smith over the course of the past week. He's had two interviews with the Jets, two interviews with the Falcons as well. And now the Falcons, according to Russini, have made the offer to Arthur Smith to become their next head coach. If that happens, Joe, and he takes that job, what do you think of that fit for Arthur Smith in Atlanta?
Well, I think there's potential there. I think if you compare it, we did the ranking of the jobs last week, I think, and I had other jobs ahead of it. I think the Chargers job is the most attractive of the bunch, just because I think it's a talented roster and you've got a young, really promising quarterback in Justin Herbert. But you can certainly do a lot worse than Matt Ryan at this stage, not vintage Matt Ryan, still pretty good Matt Ryan, and the number four overall pick with a chance to possibly get your quarterback of the future there. Some other good talent offensively. I mean, that's not a good defensive team, and they got work to do, and they're not in a great cap situation. But I think the best thing about it is ownership. Arthur Blank is a respected owner. He's been successful. He's said to be good to work for. And that certainly makes that job better than some of these other jobs out there. And I'm thinking in particular of the Lions, Texans, and Jets. And frankly, and the Jaguars too. I mean, I think from that perspective, and that's probably something we don't think about as much. We think about the players and we think about, what the team can look like. Who your boss is matters too. And so from that perspective, I think it's a good deal for Arthur Smith if and when he actually takes the job.
And it's interesting, if he does take this job, whether it's in Atlanta or somewhere else that's got a head coaching opening right now, obviously that's going to leave a vacancy for the Titans. And we talked about it earlier this week. What's the willingness for Mike Vrabel and the Titans to go outside of the organization and bring in an offensive coordinator? Or do they look internally and try to promote from within? And the indications are that they're at least looking to gauge interest outside of the organization. Josina Anderson reporting yesterday that the Titans, along with the Dolphins, reached out to Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott to gauge his interest. Now, Elliott informed both teams, according to Anderson, that he wants to stay at Clemson for the time being. But that, to me, tells me that the Titans are at least interested in looking outside of the organization, maybe to bring in some outside help for the offensive coordinator position. And quite frankly, that's a little surprising to me. Like, I don't know if that's the direction they'll end up going, but I did think, it was extremely likely given the success the offense has had, how much Vrabel loves continuity and the pieces that they have right now on offense, that maybe the hire would be from within, maybe Pat O'Hara, someone of that mold, and maybe that'll still be the case. But at least the Titans are checking in outside of the organization, which I was surprised by yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign. Now I do go back to, Vrabel tried to hire, or at least had, indicated interest, expressed interest in Ryan Day before Day kind of got set up to, Urban Meyer kept him. But in that instance, he looked outside for him and they hadn't been together there. So it wasn't really like a quote unquote Vrabel guy. I think it's a good sign to go out there and talk to people. Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports that the Titans have talked with Terrell Austin on the DC thing. And that's a good sign too, to me. I think you have to, the thing is when you have one side of the ball, that's so much better than the other side. I mean, frankly, I have to think about the whole staff. Arthur Smith gets the credit. He gets the reward right now. He's going to be a head coach, but that must have been a good staff situation day to day in that building. And then on the flip side, defensively, I don't think there's any way it's Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's. I always believe that, but X's and O's mean a lot. I mean, you can't say they don't mean anything. And the defensive staff to me needs a shakeup. So new blood, someone in, and of course, someone with the actual title of DC. yes, I do think it's important, despite what Mike Vrabel says. So I think it's a good sign that there are these discussions and the people, that the Titans are reaching out and trying to find different kinds of answers.
Hey, Wade Phillips is out there and available. He tweeted just a few minutes ago, quote, "I am ready to retire from retirement. I'm ready and available. Let's win." So you could go out, go back down the old man rabbit hole on defensive coordinator and bring in Wade Phillips. What would you think of that?
Hey, man. You know, we haven't even really talked about the idea of calling Dean Pease, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, talk about trying to get someone to unretire again. But, hey, Wade Phillips has had a lot of success. So, keep an open mind. Keep an open mind on that stuff. You know, another interesting question here with Arthur Smith, Robbie, is if he does, you know, accept the job today or soon, who does he take anyone with him? Does he take someone with him who may have been candidate to be elevated? I mean, that's always a concern here.
Maybe Shane Bowen. Maybe so, he takes Shane Bowen with him and he's the defensive coordinator.
Well, I would think the Titans fans would applaud that move. But I guess you never know. Maybe he would take defensive guys too. But, you know, some of these offensive guys in the offensive staff are, I think, have got to be considered candidates to be the OC. Although I guess to me it's like if you're here right now and you like your environment, would you choose to stay here and replace Arthur Smith, or would you – go with him to be his OC in Atlanta? I do know that I think Arthur Smith, like the people who gush about him, and when all these guys have been asked down the stretch here about him and about him as a head coach, been a lot of gushing about Arthur Smith. It wasn't just, you know, great guy. I mean, I think people really, really like working with him. And so I think that he would have a chance to bring some guys with him because people really seem to genuinely appreciate and like working with him.
And it looks like Arthur Smith in Atlanta could become a reality maybe as soon as today. So we'll continue to keep you updated on that front. Atlanta offering Arthur Smith their head coaching position. And speaking of head coaching positions, one that we know has been filled is in the division with Urban Meyer officially joining the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was made official yesterday. And we've talked about it throughout the show today in terms of what that fit looks like and what he, I guess, his potential is at the NFL level, but also the idea of the control that you have if you're Urban Meyer, because it was obvious from the jump, Jacksonville, that was their number one guy. That was the candidate they wanted to pursue, and they made no bones about it. I wonder how much control Urban Meyer wants and how much control Urban Meyer will get with his team. And Adam Schefter from ESPN talked about that and the idea of Urban Meyer having control with this Jacksonville franchise. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say.
When Urban Meyer goes and takes a job, he is the kingmaker. He is the kingpin. He is the guy that decides how things go. He's going to be the guy at the head of the organization, even though his title is head coach. He'll bring on a GM. He'll bring on assistants. He's begun to arrange to do all of that already. But he is the guy that's the face of the organization.
So that was Adam Schefter. And look, Joe, I hear what he's saying there. And obviously that's how it works in college football. We've seen it when coaches have too much power in the NFL, how at times that can be an absolute disaster. Hello, Bill O'Brien. How dangerous do you think that is if you're Jacksonville, bringing in Urban Meyer and letting him take over basically full control of your team when he hasn't even been an NFL head coach before?
Yeah, I think that you really want some checks and balances there, and you want some experienced people who have done personnel in the NFL as part of this. I think that's one way that this could go sideways, is if it's just, you know, all Urban all the time. It's an interesting move. Like, I think about this from Urban's perspective. You know, obviously he is, I mean, he's one of the greatest college coaches ever. I mean, he's one of the greatest that we've seen, but he's never gonna beat out Saban, you know? And that, so is this like a move for him? Like, if he can go have this great success in the NFL, then he's got a leg up on Saban, because that's one thing Saban couldn't do. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, look, ego is a part of this, obviously. Anyone at this kind of success level, they're different kinds of people. I mean, they are elite in terms of work ethic and being able to lead people and that stuff, but they're also often elite when it comes to massive egos. And I've been thinking about like why he made this move, and I understand you get restless and you're sick of sitting on the sidelines and all that stuff, but I do wonder if this is like a legacy move for him. Like, there's no way you can go back to the college game and he's ever going to catch Saban, but maybe this is one way he can have the leg up.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's an interesting point. And you think of Urban Meyer. I do think he competitively is driven that way. So maybe that is part of it. I just wonder what the commitment level is, because, you know, we've seen it. We've talked about it with, you know, losing in college and how much he hates to lose. That's one thing. You're going to do some losing with this Jacksonville team, especially at first, as you're trying to build this thing up to what you hope it can be. I just wonder if Urban Meyer is in it for the long haul. I'm sure those are questions that Jacksonville asked. I hope those are questions that he asked. But if you get two seasons deep into this and Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's playing well and you feel okay about the foundation of your team, but, you know, let's say next year you go 5-11 and the year after you go 7-9. Like, is Urban Meyer committed at that point to hanging around when you don't have immediate success? Because think about where he's been in his last couple of stops. I mean, he was great at Utah. You go to Florida, you have pretty immediate success there. Ohio State, immediate success. That's going to be much more difficult and challenging in the NFL with Jacksonville. I wonder how committed he is in the long haul, especially if things don't go well right from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to adjust himself, both in how he does things, how he runs his team. And I mean, like, his team on the practice field, and, you know, not the running the team as far as personnel, but, you know, day-to-day stuff and how he takes things. Cause yeah, he's about to take some L's here and he does not like taking L's. So, but like you said, those are questions that not only you would hope would have been asked of him, certainly you would hope that he has asked those questions of himself. I can't imagine he would take this job if he didn't look at it realistically, like a several year climb to what they want to be. Maybe it only takes two or three if Trevor Lawrence is great, but I would hope that all those things would have been addressed. And you can say all that stuff too, and then we'll see once he actually goes through it.
Coming up next, we'll look ahead at the divisional round of the playoffs this weekend coming up in the NFL. Which favorite is the most likely to be upset this weekend in the NFL? We'll discuss that when we come back. But right now, speaking of the divisional round, I've got a word from FanDuel. And football fans, I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. And it's called a same-game parlay bet. They're only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional round. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a same-game parlay bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers can get up to $25 back on your bet if you don't win. And the playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of the many ways you can win on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got a range of betting options like player props and futures. Whatever bet you're looking for, you can find it on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, at sign up. That's promo code ROB at sign up. If you're a current customer, you're all set. Just go check out the same game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air every Wednesday during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And something new this year, we're going virtual, so that means you can watch the show from the comforts of your own home via the 102.5 The Game Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. So make sure you're joining us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com/SmashvilleLive. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's the divisional week in the NFL playoffs. And Joe, some interesting matchups all weekend long throughout the NFL. In the AFC, you've got the Baltimore Ravens, who just put the Titans out of the playoffs, taking on the Buffalo Bills tomorrow at 7:15. You've also got Cleveland in the AFC taking on Kansas City. In the NFC, you've got Green Bay as the one seed hosting the LA Rams. And then the maybe the game of the week, Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Two old men quarterback, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, the third matchup between those two this year. So really good stuff on the slate for NFL divisional weekend. Joe, as you look at these matchups, one, what is the most intriguing matchup to you? And number two, who do you think the favorite is that has the best chance of being upset this weekend in the divisional round?
Well, I think I might be most intrigued by Bills Ravens. You know, sometimes I get a thought, and I've had the thought from the time I saw the matchup and I saw the Ravens play last week, like, man, they could be a real problem for the Bills. But, of course, the whole world seems to be on that, so now I don't feel like I'm very original anymore. And now I'm starting to question that, like, okay, let's also remember the Bills, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, the way they've been playing, they're at home. But I am intrigued by it. I think that the Ravens can run the ball. I think that, you know, their defense, I think they can match up pretty well against that offense, and I think they can get some pressure on Josh Allen. I mean, you got to be able to, you know, kind of like when you're playing the Ravens. I mean, you have to keep him hemmed in. Once he gets outside that pocket, he is a terror. But I think that's the game I'm the most excited about. As far as like the favorite most likely to lose, I mean, I look at this as two games that are virtual toss-ups, you know, with the Ravens, Bills, and the Bucks, Saints. I mean, you know, Vegas tells you they're expected to be close games, and the other two are massive favorites. So I would pick between those two games on that question of the Chiefs against the Browns or the Packers against the Rams, and I would pick the Chiefs. And I know that a lot of people think this is going to be a runaway, and maybe it will be, but I think the Chiefs come in. Or excuse me, the Browns come in, you know, with a terrific combo at running back, with a quarterback who's hot, and with a defense that's getting healthier. And look, it doesn't match up. This defense doesn't match up with that passing game. No defense matches up with the passing game, but they can get after the quarterback, and they can maybe disrupt Patrick Mahomes, get some stops by getting him to the ground. And I think that Browns offense could control the ball and give the Chiefs trouble. And again, if you're finishing those drives with six instead of three, you got a chance. So I'm going to go there. I don't think most people would pick that. If you're going to pick between that and the Packers, I feel better about the Packers handling their business than I do about the Chiefs.
It's interesting because, I mean, obviously you look at the Packers-Rams game and you've got a top-level offense going up against the top-level defense. And I would probably feel a little bit more nervous about this game if Aaron Donald didn't have a rib injury and if LA had a quarterback. I mean, going up to Lambeau and playing in the cold, I mean, it's going to be in the 20s, maybe into the low 30s into this game. Jared Goff's already got some injury problems with his finger, and it's difficult to throw the ball anyway in the cold. I just don't know in the passing game how much success LA is going to have in this game. So it's going to be low scoring, I think, from that standpoint with L.A., unless they're just able to run all over the Packers, which they've gotten better at defending that the past few weeks. It just always fascinates me that the a top-level offense going up against a top-level defense. But I just think from where the Rams are right now injury-wise, that could put them in a tough spot in that game. To me, the most intriguing game of the weekend is the Bucs and the Saints. And I think, look, I mean, I watched the Saints play, and I think maybe talent-wise, they're the best team left in the NFC. I know the Green Bay is the number one seed, and Aaron Rodgers is probably going to win the MVP. But I think the Saints are more talented than the Packers are. I just look at that offense and Drew Brees, and everything looks more difficult than it should be. I mean, Drew Brees is obviously, you know, he's up there in age. He's dealing with injuries this year. But that offense doesn't look sharp. It doesn't look crisp. And one of the things that they've been really good at is Alvin Kamara just beating you in many different ways, whether it's running the ball or coming out of the slot, coming out of the backfield, catching the ball. And Tampa Bay's defense, even though they haven't played very well against New Orleans this year, has been pretty good for the most part, especially against the run. So I think it's going to be difficult for New Orleans to move the ball in that game against Tampa Bay. The question I have is – what Tampa Bay offense shows up. Like, does the Tampa Bay offense led by Brady that's shown up for the past 4 or 5 weeks, is that going to be the offense we see tomorrow? Because if it is, I like Tampa Bay big in this game. If it's not, and New Orleans is able to get in Tampa, in Tom Brady's face, which we saw on Sunday Night Football a few weeks back, I mean, that totally eliminates what the Bucs are really good at offensively. So that matchup to me is really intriguing. How can the Saints defense put pressure on Tom Brady? And if they do, I think the Saints have got a great chance to win that game. If they don't, I love the way Tampa Bay has been playing as of late offensively.
No, I agree. That's a really fascinating game. It's a great way to end the weekend. And I think the Saints are the better and more complete team. But, yeah, look, one of those offenses is just functioning at a lot higher level than the other. I think this could be the week that the Saints put it all together. But the Bucs have momentum. And the beating a team three straight times, it certainly happens. I mean, you know, no one thought the Titans were going to beat the Jags a third straight time, you know, 21 years ago, and yep, they did. I mean, it happens, but I do buy into that being more difficult. And, you know, both those games were, I mean, they smacked them around. And I think those teams are closer to that. If they get into a close game, does the pressure get to the Saints? Does the fact that they've had such, you know, terrible postseason losses in the last few years, does that come back to haunt them at all? You know, they've got some demons to get over.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville texts in and says, with the way the Rams can run the ball and play defense, the Packers could be vulnerable. Cam Akers is a stud. Sorry, Robbie. Look, I will admit I am nervous about this game. I am very nervous against the Rams.
Yeah, it's the QB. I mean, look, if Jared Goff has one of those games and they are running the ball and the play action, you know, Sean McVay has a great game with the game plan design, then I think it could be dangerous. I do. I just don't really trust Jared Goff. You know, I mean, I think he's got to play above his head for this to really still be a game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to have to make some throws against Aaron Rodgers in that game, but no question, Cam Akers is very good, and he can run the ball very well. Ryan Porth, what's the most intriguing game on the table for you? Is it Buffalo and Baltimore?
I'd say it's a toss-up between Buffalo, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay, New Orleans.
Okay,
for sure. I am very intrigued by Cleveland, KC. I don't think that's going to be a boring game by any stretch of the imagination.
I want to see how Kansas City comes out
sure,
in that game.
I think there are going to be some points scored in that game for sure. I think Packers-Rams, probably the most boring of the four, just from what we're going to watch, what I'm expecting out of that game. But Buffalo-Baltimore, I think, is going to be intense as you know what.
Yeah, I think so too, and I'm looking
same
forward
with Tampa,
to seeing
New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in for a great weekend of divisional play. And when we come back, we're going to pick those games in the NFL. We've got another edition of Pigskin Pick'em that's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The divisional round of the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. We will pick those games against the spread. But before we do that, Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update after the action that took place last week.
Yeah, so basically we there was a little bit of a chance that maybe, you know, we could come up and catch Morth,
yes,
you know, Munson Porth combined team, but that's not happening at this point. He went 4-3, didn't get his lockout 4 points. Robbie, you had a good week, you had the best week, 4-3, got your lock 5 points.
Yeah,
I sunk back to the toilet with my 2-5 record, didn't get my lock. So as of now, Morth 43-38, 52 points, 9-7 on locks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in second at 35-46, 42 points, 7-9 on my locks. But you are also at 42 points, Robbie, with a 32-49 record, but you're 10-6. You have the best Locke's record, which has you. So, you know, if you beat me in points, you beat me. The tiebreaker, of course, is a record. I'm three games better than you there. But this is basically a toilet bowl, a competition the rest of the way. And Porth can see if he how big of a final advantage he will have.
Yeah,
but still.
You know, we talked about the smugness of Brian Kelly and Urban Meyer this week. You should have seen the look on Porth's face when you started reading off the standings there. It was very Brian Kelly-esque.
Wow.
I'm just throwing it out there. We saw it yesterday on the Preds Pick the Click, and now here on Pickskin Pick'em, Ryan Porth, very confident against us, Joe Rexroad.
So you have a problem with the smugness of Brian Kelly, and yet you emulate it.
Yeah, it's just disappointing. Very disappointing from Ryan
Porth. You
hate
to see it, man.
You do hate to see it.
It's confidence, not cockiness.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it works out for you this week here on Pickskin Pick'em. Without further ado, let's get things started in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. We'll start in the NFC, the Rams and the Packers. The Packers favored by 6.5 in this game. Ryan Porth, you are in first place. You're up first with your pick. Which way are you going?
I am going to go with Green Bay here. L.A. played really well last week in Seattle. They had some things go their way, but I don't think they replicate that. I think Jared Goff is going to have trouble against the Packers defense, especially with a bum thumb. And the Packers cover the 6.5. This is like a 27-17 type game to me.
Yeah, going to be cold. It's going to be hard to move the ball. It's wintertime in Green Bay, but very interesting matchup. Nonetheless, Joe Rexroad, Packers favored by 6.5 in this game. Which way are you going?
Yeah, I can buy this as a one-score final. I think the Packers will compete. I think this will be a better game than some people think, but I've got to take the Packers and give that 6.5. I think they'll win by about a touchdown to 10 points.
Look, I look at this game, and the matchup intrigues me. Obviously, I'm a Packers fan, and there's some homerism involved in this pick. But if L.A. had a better quarterback than Jared Goff, especially a better quarterback than Jared Goff, who's hurt, I would be a lot more concerned about this game. But I think Green Bay ends up winning this game by about 10 points. I think they're playing so well right now offensively. Davante Adams going up against Jalen Ramsey, that is going to be a big boy matchup to watch this weekend. Two of the best in the business at their respective positions, maybe the two best at their respective positions. But at the end of the day, I think the Packers make enough plays. They win this game by about 10, and they cover the spread. Moving to the Ravens and the Bills, one of the most intriguing matchups that I've seen in a long time in the NFL based on the way the Ravens and the Bills have been playing as of late. Both teams riding a hot streak. The Bills favored by 2.5 in this game. Joe Rexroad, we start with you. Bills by 2.5. Which way are you going?
I'd feel great about this if it was 3.5, because I really think we're looking at a great game and probably a game that comes down to a late field goal try. But I think the Ravens are going to pull that out, and I'm going to go with the Ravens and take the 2.5. I think the discussion of Lamar Jackson and that offense not being able to win the playoffs is going to be long forgotten after this weekend.
See, I am going to go the other way in this match. I've got the Bills winning this game by 3. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. I do like the way that the Ravens are playing. I like the way, obviously, that defense just totally shut down the Titans last week. At the end of the day, I think Josh Allen makes enough plays both through the air and through on the ground. I didn't think the Titans did a good enough job last week of putting Ryan Tannehill in situations where he could run and he could hurt the defense that way. Josh Allen will do that. I think Stephon Diggs has a big day, and the Bills make just enough plays in the end to get it done. I've got the Bills covering. Ryan Porth.
Ravens.
Guaranteed.
Wow.
Going with that as my lock with the Ravens.
Very confident in Baltimore after their stifling defensive play against the Titans.
This is kind of a gut feel pick, making it my guarantee, but I was not overly impressed with Buffalo last Sunday. I was impressed with Lamar Jackson last week. Think they are playing with a ton of confidence. Not that Buffalo isn't, but the Ravens have a lot of playoff experience. I think they go in there, get the job done. And before the season, all the talk in the AFC was that it was Ravens, Chiefs, and everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think we get that as the AFC title game.
Very nice. We'll see what happens in that game between the Ravens and the Bills. Staying in the AFC. The Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 10 points in this game. I will start. And I said to begin the show in Call Your Shot Friday that I believe the Chiefs will be trailing in this game at halftime. I think they will be. And then I think we see a story similar to what we saw last year, and they just completely turn it on. They pull away in the second half. I've got the Chiefs winning this game by 11, so they cover the spread at 10 points. Give me Kansas City. Ryan Porth, which way are you going in this game? Kansas City favored by 10.
When this line came out, I thought it was too high, and now I'm thinking Vegas knows something. I'm going to go with KC. The Browns have a lot of confidence, but I think Mahomes, Kelce, Tyreek Hill, think they flex their muscles in this one. They cover the 10.
So Joe Rexroad, it's a big line in this game. The Chiefs favored by 10 points. Both Ryan Porth and I have not been scared away by this line with the defending, almost said Stanley Cup, Super Bowl champions. Joe Rexroad, which way are you going in this matchup?
I really like your pick of the Browns being up at halftime. You know, I mean, I think they've got momentum. The Chiefs are going to take a little bit of time to get going, I would think. And I also agree that I think the Chiefs will turn it on, eventually gain some separation. But I think the Browns get a late touchdown to cover. So give me the Browns and the 10 points.
Very nice, Joe Rexroad. I like it. Now, moving ahead to the final matchup, what I have called the most intriguing matchup in the NFL for this divisional weekend, the Bucs and the Saints. New Orleans favored by 3 in this game. Ryan Porth, we start with you. Two old men playing quarterback, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Which way are you going with this one?
On the History Channel Sunday afternoon, wow. Give me Tampa Bay, or is it Tampa Bay? I think the Buccaneers cover. Don't know if they necessarily win, but I will take the Bucs in this one. Going to be tough for New Orleans to beat them for a third time.
I agree. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay in this game as well. Not only to cover the spread, I believe Tampa Bay wins this game outright, and it is my guarantee, my lock of the week here on Pigskin Pick'em.
Guarantee!
I said it before, I just don't really like the way that New Orleans offense is playing right now, and I realize Michael Thomas just got back into the fold. And maybe they continue to build on that, and they just shred this Tampa Bay team like they've done before already this season. But I just think Tom Brady in the playoffs, when the moments matter the most, the way he's been playing as of late, that's a factor to me in this game. I've got Tampa Bay winning this game, and they will go to the NFC Championship to play against the Green Bay Packers in Tom Brady's first year in Tampa Bay. Joe Rexroad, who you got in this game?
Saints lock.
We have got
opposing locks. I like how this sets up. Robbie and I are different on 3 of the 4, including our locks. Now, I don't like the fact that Robbie's been good with his locks and I've sucked with locks, but you know what? I'm going to go with it. I think this is a really good game. I think it's back and forth, and I think the Saints win something like 28-24. So it's not like I see them running away or blowing the Bucs out. But I think in the end, they win and cover. And Saints-Packers is going to be one heck of an NFC Championship game.
I am looking forward to the NFC Championship game if the Packers are in there. But I believe that it's going to be against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's our edition of Pigskin Pickin' today. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg texts in and says, I personally say the Bills beat the Ravens. By how they acted at the end of the game against the Titans, you can tell they put all their emotions into beating the Titans. I feel like they're going to have an emotional letdown against the Bills, and the Bills win by 10 points. Again, that coming from Greg and Dixon. So what do you guys think of maybe the Ravens putting all their eggs into the basket of the Titans, and they've got an emotional letdown heading into Buffalo this weekend?
I think Greg's mad about the stomping and the logo and is displacing his anger and believing that it's going to help the Bills somehow. So, you get to the next round in the playoffs. I don't think you have emotional letdowns. I think you build. Doesn't mean they'll win, but I don't buy that at all, that is any kind of factor.
Do you think emotional letdowns take place in the playoffs? Like, have you seen emotional letdowns happen? Because I would hope like that your energy, you're so hyper-focused going into the playoffs, that doesn't happen.
I don't think so. I don't buy it.
Yeah. So I think the Bills are going to win. I think people are really kind of overstating how sloppy the Bills looked last week against the Colts. It wasn't pretty all the time. I watched that game. There were moments where I thought the Colts were going to sneak up and win that game. But the Bills, I mean, Bills Mafia, there's a fever going around in Buffalo right now. They love this team. They're having success for the first time in a long time. I think the Bills get it done. But I think it's going to be a great game. 2.5 points is the line between the Ravens and the Bills. I think it's going to be awesome. The key to the game to me is, can Lamar Jackson make enough plays through the air? He did it at times last week against the Titans. I think that will be he'll have to do it even more this week against Buffalo based on the way the Bills play. And can he do that? The answer last week was yes. We'll see if he can do it 2 weeks in a row. Do you think that there's any like weight lifted off of him and that team's shoulders after what happened against the Titans last week, that they play a little bit more freed up and are not just thinking about the playoff thing all the time, which Lamar Jackson has admitted that he has been?
Exactly. I mean, I think if there's an intangible effect, it's positive after that win. And it's exactly that. You know, it's you kind of, you know, you grip the stick. That's one of my favorite sports cliches that can apply across any sport. You know, you're pressing to get that. Now you got it done. You got it out of the way. And this is a team that's, you look at the whole thing, they've played a lot of bad teams in that hot streak, but they are hot. They are playing well. And I think they carry it over into Buffalo.
Coming up next, we've got another edition of As the Vols Turn. More breaking news coming around in the Tennessee football program. And this one could have pretty massive implications. We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Port, they're with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe Rex Road, as we know, I mean, it has been at times exhausting to follow the Tennessee Volunteers and just the different things that seemingly come out on a daily basis. There's been a lot of player movement. We've talked about the investigation, everything going on around Jeremy Pruitt and this football program. And now yet another wrinkle, this coming from Austin Price and Brent Hubbs at VolQuest.com. Quote, one day after meeting with compliance and the outside counsel about the internal investigation, Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt is on his way to California to meet with standout linebacker Henry To'oTo'o and his family. Pruitt is joined on the trip by defensive coordinator Derek Ainsley, Tennessee player development assistant Kevin Simon, and sources say they're picking up Kevin Steele on the way to the West Coast. Simon was a key factor in To'oTo'o selecting the Vols in the first place. The soon-to-be junior linebacker has loved his time at Tennessee. However, sources tell VolQuest that the current unknown from the internal investigation has led to questions surrounding Pruitt's job security and has given Henry and his family pause. In an effort to settle the To'oTo'o family's concerns, Pruitt and members of his staff are on their way to the West Coast. So you don't see this very often where teams are trying to, I guess, ease a kid's concerns and they hop on a plane and go out to California to meet with him. But pretty serious stuff. Like if Henry To'oTo'o decides to leave and transfers from this program, that is a massive loss for Tennessee and this football program.
Yeah. I mean, when I read this situation, and you know, Henry To'oTo'o was great this year and still their defense was a big disappointment, but certainly, I mean, he's a terrific player. He's got one more year and he's going to be in the NFL. I mean, the fact that they're doing this, that they're flying out there, that they've gotten approval to fly out there, picking up steel.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this is an indication that Jeremy Pruitt's going to be back in 2021. I mean, nothing's for sure until it's for sure, but I can't help but read it that way.
Yeah, I mean, if there was, I guess, serious doubt about that right now, why would you let him fly out there? I mean, I get you want to keep To'oTo'o, but if you're going out to kind of ease concerns, that would tell me from Jeremy Pruitt's perspective that you've at least got some confidence that you're going to be back next year. So a pretty important development here with this investigation and with Jeremy Pruitt. And again, we don't know. I mean, we don't know how this is going to end up, but I think it's certainly easy to read into it that way, that maybe that is good news for Jeremy Pruitt and that he will be back to be the head coach next year in 2021, which quite frankly, if that's the case, that's surprising to me. And that goes back to what we brought up with Ryan McGee earlier in the show. And that is, Like, is this situation even salvageable anymore if you're Jamie Pruitt, or is the damage already done based on the season you just had, the investigation, the perception around the program, the perception from the fan base, how much player movement there's been? I don't think it is. I don't think this situation is salvageable, but I do think, you know, reading into this report on VolQuest.com, that if Pruitt's gotten approval to fly out there and to meet with Tolu Tolu, and Kevin Steele is going to be a part of this, that has to be a good sign that he'll be back next year.
Yeah, good sign for him. it's just, I mean, you
yeah, good
think
is subjective,
about,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, good for Jeremy if he does indeed want to keep this job and doesn't want to just go back and be Saban's DC again. So you're flying out to re-recruit a player, you know. You're flying out to keep one of your best players in light of all this mess. I mean, the fact that that would be necessary already, it's a nice indication of what a mess this is. But what kind of recruiting are you going to be able to do this offseason, you know, if you're Jeremy Pruitt? I mean, that's where I think we'll probably see the impact of the damage of all this if he's back. You know, it just sets up for a lame duck season. When I guess Tennessee can get its ducks in a row and be ready to hire Jeremy Pruitt's replacement. It would be an incredible turnaround at this point if Jeremy Pruitt not only comes back next year, but somehow does enough with that team to go beyond that. And the hard part there is you may have a worse pool of potential replacements for him than you have right at this moment. So it's just the whole thing is, again, a mess. It's ridiculous that Tennessee says nothing to its fan base during this whole thing, and people have to try to read tea leaves for weeks at a time. But I'm reading this, and I'm thinking Jeremy Pruitt's back.
Yeah, and look, it's just par for the course with Tennessee, and what a disaster they've been. I mean, this program is stuck in the mud. They cannot get out of their own way, and this is just more of the same when it comes to not communicating with what's going on. And quite frankly, like keeping this dude around, but that's a conversation for a different day. And we'll continue to keep you updated throughout the weekend. Who knows what else is going to happen with Tennessee football? It's a day-by-day thing at this point, and we'll come back on Monday to talk about that for sure. I do want to look ahead to the Predators. They've got a game tomorrow against Columbus, game number 2 of the season. Joe, as you look ahead from game 1 to game 2, what steps do you want to see taken? What's the next step you want to see from this Predators team as they go in round 2 against Columbus, back-to-back games against the same opponent?
Well, certainly you want to see this team create opportunities offensively in 5-on-5, and you want to see, more offensive danger from that top line and things like that. But to me, it's, can you do a lot of what you did in the first game again and again and again? Is this who you are? Can you replicate this? Are you going to be quote unquote hard to play against every night? And you want to see a level of consistency. So, I mean, this is what's going to be interesting too about this season. I started thinking about this last night. We've talked a lot about like chippiness and how it's going to be the same teams. I mean, these teams, not only is going to be the familiarity and the chippiness, but obviously they are directly competing with each other. Every game means so much. Because, you know, it's directly impacting you and the race that you're in. You know, every game's a division game. And so I think that's going to be interesting too. It's early in the season for that, but just the intensity and focus in these games, just because, I mean, it's just this small pool of teams that are competing. I'm interested to see how that looks. You're probably going to have, again, not just chippiness, but some really intense and maybe more defensive minded games. Maybe I'm reading that wrong, but I think with the Preds, that's the formula. You want to see them do a lot of what they did in the first game. And if Saros is in goal, you want to see him continue to play well, obviously.
Ryan Porth, what is the next step you're looking for the Preds against Columbus tomorrow night to build on what we saw last night in game 1?
So I want to see the Preds replicate what they did defensively last night, which was really limit the Blue Jackets' chances outside of the first flurry or two that Columbus had, and then they ended up scoring that I won't say fluky goal, but I mean they caught a break for sure in that period. And then I want to see the Jofa line really push the pace and set the tone. Ryan Johansson used those words, setting the tone, back, you know, a week and a half ago when he met with the media, of that that's the way that he envisions the Jofa line playing. Not that they were bad last night, but I think there is clearly another gear for them. I want to see that at 5-on-5.
And we'll have Predators pregame for you at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Puck drop at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexroad, quickly, we've heard that Arthur Smith has been offered the job with the Atlanta Falcons. By the end of today, is Arthur Smith the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, yes or no?
I'll say yes. I have a hard time believing he would turn that down. We thought maybe by the end of the show he would have accepted it. But, you know, you got to give the guy a little chance to talk with the family and figure it out. But, yeah, I'll say yes.
I will say yes as well. And maybe the most encouraging part of this, if you're Arthur Smith, doesn't look like he's going to be taking the Detroit job. That got canceled today, that interview. So it looks like the Detroit Lions not on the list. And Joe Rexroad, you know, that's a good decision by Arthur Smith.
Poor Lions. Yeah, I like the Lions GM hire. So maybe he can avoid being lionized. But usually, no matter how good you are, you get lionized. So, yes, definitely better for Arthur Smith to be focusing toward Atlanta here.
That's going to do it for us today here on the show. We'll be back on Monday morning to recap the Preds weekend, NFL divisional playoffs, and whatever in the world's going on with the Tennessee Volunteers. All of it on the table. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.